B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We're going to start on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, according to Rabbi Eliezer, one's allowed to suspend a strainer onto the barrel on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. According to the Chachomim say you're not allowed to suspend such a strainer onto the barrel even on Yom Tov, and it goes without saying that on Shabbos it's Asur. Iboyeluhu. The Gemara is now asking a question, and it seems that the Gemara is only asking according to the opinion of the Chachomim. According to the Chachomim, that one is not allowed to suspend such a strainer, not on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos, because it's a very severe melacha. The question is, what melacha is this, according to the Chachomim? And Rabbi Akiva Eiger discusses why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the same question doesn't apply, because Rabbi Eliezer also agrees one's not allowed to suspend the strainer on Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger deals with that, but it seems from the Gemara that, according to the Chachomim, that one's not allowed to suspend the strainer, not only on Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov. According to the Chachomim, the Gemara is now asking, how severe is suspending the strainer on Shabbos regarding the melachos of Shabbos? Iboy Elohu, tolo mai. It's true, it says, ein toilin, you're not allowed to suspend the strainer on Shabbos. If you did, then what are the ramifications of that? How serious is that? Omar Rav Yosef, tolo chayev chatos. Rav Yosef says that it's a chiyuv chatos, it's one of the lamed tes melachos. And the Rambam explains that this is called making an oihel kavua, a permanent roofing, and is a tolda of boine, and therefore is chayev chatos. Omar le Abaya, elo me'ato tolo kuzo besichsa hochanami de mechayev. Abaya is asking, if you take a little jug called a kuzo and you hang it on a peg, are you also suggesting that it's going to be chayev because it's the area underneath the peg, underneath this jug, is being covered over by the jug, and just hanging it is going to be chayev for making an oihel, is going to be chayev min ha-Torah? And the Mefarshim explain exactly what did Abaya mean by this comparison between hanging a jug on a peg and between suspending a strainer on a barrel. It seems that they have no connection with each other. Why should they be similar? So it's discussed in the Mefarshim. But either way, Abaya said that if you're going to say that suspending a strainer is chayev, then it should also be that hanging up a small jug on a peg should also be chayev, and that's clearly not the case. So there must be another understanding into the Chachomim who say it's osur to suspend the strainer on Shabbos. Elo Amar Abaya, midrabbonon hi. Abaya say that according to the Chachomim, it's only osur midrabbonon to suspend the strainer. Shelo yase kederech shu oise b'choil. This is called uvde d'choil, doing an activity on Shabbos that is inappropriate for Shabbos. It's more a weekday type of activity, and therefore it's osur midrabbonon to do it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mankit Abaya chumrei masnita v'toni. Abaya, he would collect the different groups of teachings in the brises. He would group them together v'toni and would teach them. And there's going to be three groups here. One group where using or doing a certain activity is a melocha mamash min ha-Torah and is chayev chatos. Another group where it's only osur midrabbonon, it's potur aval osur. And the third group, which is mutar lekatchila, one's allowed to do it initially on Shabbos. What are they? As follows. Hagoid. Hagoid is a type of a bag made of leather, of hide. And in this bag, they would put wine or they would put other liquids. And the mouth of this bag was very wide. And this bag typically had straps that they could tie the entrance, the opening, they could tie it closed. And when they would travel, then at night they would actually open up this bag, stretch the mouth open as wide as possible, and use the straps to tie the edges as far apart as possible, opening it up that way, letting the cool air get to the wine, so the wine should not, or the milk, in order that it should not get ruined overnight. And spreading out this bag, this noid, is similar to making a roofing over the area underneath it. And it's an issue with oihel. Or the hamishmeres, or the case we're talking about in the Mishnah, which is spreading out a strainer, suspending a strainer onto the barrel. Kilo, or spreading out a canopy on Shabbos where the top, where the roofing, where the canopy typical would be draped over a pole across the middle of a bar, across a bar in the middle of the bed, and they would drape it over onto the right, onto the left. And we're talking about a type of canopy where at the top, the flat part of the canopy before it drapes down to the side is a tefach wide. That's the kilo. The kisei galin, and a chair from a place of galin, and this was a chair that was disassembled and reassembled. Whenever they wanted to use it, they would assemble it. When they finished with it, they would take it apart. And in all these cases, lo yaseh, one should not do them on Shabbos. In the case of the goyd and the mishmeres and the kilo, there's an issue of making an oyhel arai. And in the case of the kisei, the chair, it's also an arai, and also that you might you might fix the pieces together very tightly. And if you are tekeah, then there's an issue that with makeh bepatish and other issues. And therefore, lo yaseh, you should not do them on Shabbos. Vim also potur aval osur. If you did them, then even though they were osur, your potur, these are not biblical melochas. That was one group. Another group, ohole keva lo yaseh, making a fixed tent, a fixed roofing on Shabbos, one's not allowed to do it. Vim also chayev chatos, and doing it will be considered boine, and is one of the melochas of Shabbos, which is punishable with the whole severity of Hilchas Shabbos, and is chayev chatos if he did it by mistake. Aval mito, a regular bed which has been fully assembled and is just standing upright to save space or for convenience, and when you need it, when you want to go to sleep, you'll just lower it and put it down, even though when you lower it, the top of the bed is going to become an oihel, a covering, a roofing over the area underneath it. Nonetheless, you didn't do anything. All you did was put the bed onto its feet. The kisei traskel, or a type of a chair which was foldable, but it was not totally detachable. It was just folded up, and they would just fold it up and put it on the side when they would not need it. And when they would need it, they would just open it up. Or the asla, which is similar to the kisei traskel, it's a foldable type of chair. Just over here, they would use it in the beis hakisei, so there was a hole in the center of it. In all those cases, mutar lintoison lekatchila, one's allowed to even initially spread them out on Shabbos and put them into position, because they've been fully structured before. All you're doing is putting them in place, and that's mutar. Continues the Gemara. V'ein noisnin litluya b'Shabbos. We saw in the Mishnah that, according to Rebbe Eliezer, if you have a strainer suspended on a barrel, one's allowed to pour wine onto the strainer, even though the wine is going to fall through it, and the bits that you don't want, the residue is going to stay at the top. Nonetheless, Rebbe Eliezer says it's mutter, and Rashi in the Mishnah explains it's because ein derech boyer bekach, it's not a normal way, it's not a regular way of separating between the good and the bad, between what you desire and what you do not desire, and therefore, Kuncha Beliezer, he says it's muta. The Chachomim say, Ein noisnin nitluya b'Shabbos, even if this strainer was put on before Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour the wine through this strainer on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Iboilahu, Shimer mai. What happens if somebody did strain the wine on Shabbos? He poured wine through the strainer on Shabbos. How serious is that? Omer Rav Kahana, Shimer chayev chatos. Rav Kahana says, is chayev chatos, it's a melocha of, we'll soon see what melacha it is, either boirer or merakid. We'll soon see that in the Gemara. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi is asking a question on Rav Kahana. You, Rav Kahana, say that according to the Chachomim, it's chayev chatos. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it's mutar lekatchila. That's a very diverse argument. We don't normally find that one opinion says it's mutar lekatchila and the other opinion says it's an issa d'oraisa. Mi'ikum midi derabonon mechayev chatos. Rebbe Eliezer, shori lekatchila. Do we have any other such case? Do we ever find an example where, according to the Chachomim, it's a chiyuv chatos, and according to Rebbe Eliezer, says it's mutar lekatchila? Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is now answering back and asking on Rav Sheshes' question. Rav Sheshes asked to Rav Kahana, how can you say the Chachomim say that it's an Issa Deiraisa? And if Rav Eliezer says it's mutar, Rav Yosef says, Alom Oloi, why not? I'll give you an example. Hare Irushel Zohov, and we've learnt about this early on in Maseches Shabbos, an ornament which looked like a city of gold. Rav Meir mechayev chatos. Rav Meir says it's not considered an ornament, and therefore it's a burden, and carrying it on Shabbos is punishable by chatos. Rav Eliezer shori lekatchila. And Rav Eliezer says you're allowed to go out with it lekatchila on Shabbos. So you see that it's not a problem with the chachomim holding something is an issa deiraisa, and the Rav Eliezer saying it's mutar. Mahi. Where do we find this? Let's hear the source. Let's discuss it. The Tanya we saw in the Braisa. Loiseitse isha be'iru shel zohov. A woman is not allowed to go out into Roshos Harabim or to carry from Roshos Hayochit to Roshos Harabim or vice versa with this ornament which looked like a city of gold. Ve'im yotso, if she went out, chayev chatos, she's chayev chatos. Tivi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Ve'chachomim oimrim. Ve'chachomim say loiseitse. I agree with you, Reb Meir, that she should not go out with it. V'miyotza p'tura. However, the Chachomim say to Reb Meir, we think it's osa, but it's only osa midrabbonon. It's not considered a burden. It is an ornament. And however, we don't want you to go out with it because we're afraid you're going to take off the ornament and show it to your friends, and then you'll be carrying it in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, midrabbonon, they said that one should not go out with it on Shabbos. Reb Eliezer Imer, yaitza isha b'ir shel zov lekatchila. Reb Eliezer said that the only people who wear such an expensive ornament are very prominent women. And those prominent women do not typically remove their ornaments to show it to their friend. There's no such risk, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. So this is what Rav Yosef answered back to Rav Sheshes' question. You, Rav Sheshes, had the problem, how can Reb Eliezer say one's allowed to pour the wine through the strainer? And the Chachomim says an Issa Deraisa. We have the same thing with this ornament. According to Reb Meir, it's an Issa Deraisa. And according to Reb Eliezer, it's Mutar. Omale Abaya said to Rav Yosef that you cannot compare the case of this ornament to the case of the strainer we're discussing here. Mi sabras Reb Eliezer ad Reb Meir koi do omer chayev eschatos ad rabbonon koi do omer poto avel osa vo omer luhu iu mutar lekatchila. The truth is, says the Abaya is now explaining, Rav Sheshes could be right that we don't really find such an extreme machlokas, and therefore it's a question on Rav Kahana. However, over there, it's true that you find Reb Meir says that it's also deraisa, and Reb Eliezer says it's mutar, but there's another opinion which is a compromise. The Chachomim say it's osur, but only midrabbonon. So it's not as if Reb Eliezer is contrasting Reb Meir, saying, you, Reb Meir, say it's an issa deraisa, I think it's mutar lekatchila. No. You, Reb Meir, who say it's an issa deraisa, the Chachomim already argued with you and said it's an issa derabbonon. And I, Reb Eliezer, are saying, and I'm discussing the Chachomim. You Chachomim say it's an Issa Midrabbonon, I hold it's Mutar Lekatchila. And that's okay. Continues the Gemara. Mishumai Mosrinon Bei. We just saw now, according to Rav Kahana, if somebody strains the wine on Shabbos, he's Chayev Chatos. We know that in order to be Chayev Chatos, you have to have been warned, or in order, more accurately, in order to be Chayev Misa, in order for somebody who does a melacha min ha-Torah with Edim, with two witnesses, who will then charge him in Beis Din and he'll be killed, you have to warn them first. And when you warn them, you have to not only tell them it's osur to do what you're doing, you have to tell them why it's osur. So if two witnesses come and see Reuven is about to strain the wine, according to Chachomim and Issa Deraisa, which melacha is it? Straining is not one of the lamates melachas. It must belong or be similar to one of the existing melachas. Rabbi Omar Mishum Boira, Rabbi says it's like selecting. Boira, you select what you want, what you desire, and what you don't desire, you leave aside. Here too, letting the wine that you desire fall through and the shemorim, the residue, is going to stay on top. That's Boira. Rabbi Zera Omar Mishum Merakid, Rabbi Zera says no. Rabbi Zera says it's more similar to the malach of sifting, Merakid, where what you actually do is you let the flour, which is the good part, fall through the holes of the sieve, or to fall down, however they're doing the sifting, and the part that you don't want, the undesirable part, stays on top. Here too, the wine, which is the desirable part, falls through the strainer, and the bits you don't want, the shmorim, stay on top. And we'll soon discuss that a little bit more. So Reb Zera says that straining the wine is compared to sifting. Omar Rabbi explains, Kavasindi di Mestabra, it's more probable and more logical that straining wine is boirer, is selecting. Ma darkei shel boira, in the same way as the manner that boira is normally done, noitel oichel umaniach apseiles, you take the desirable part and you just leave the part that you don't want. Afhocha so too, nami noitel es oichel umaniach apseiles, pouring the wine through the strainer, you so to speak, taking the wine away. You're taking away the bit you want, and the bits you don't want just stay on top. And that is similar to Boira, that the bits you don't want stay left over. Omer Abzeira says, Kavosidi Dimistabra, it's more logical that straining is similar to sifting. Ma darku shel marakeid, the accepted manner of doing marakeid is psoiles milamalo, the part you don't want stays on top. And the good part falls down. It's not always the case. When you sieve certain larger beans and things like that, where you want the bad parts, it might be little insects, whatever it is, to fall through the sieve. And so in some cases, the oichel stays on top and the psoiles falls down. However, in the case of marakeid, the oichel falls down and the psoiles stays on top. Here too, with the straining of the wine, the oichel falls down and the psoiles stays on top, says Abzeira. It's probable that somebody who does straining on Shabbos will have transgressed merakid. Ma darkish al merakid psoilis milamalov oichel milamato afhocha nami psoilis milamalov oichel milamato. Continues the Gemara. Toni Romi Bar Yecheskel. Talis kfula lo yase. If a person has a cloak that's folded up, one should not unfold it on top of a frame or on top of four posts, making himself a roofing, even though it's temporary. He's only going to keep it there for a short while. But you should not make an oihel on Shabbos. Vim also, if he did it, potter avel osser. Even though it was osser, he's potter. It's not a melocha min ha-Torah. It's only temporary. Hoyo koruch olea ochut oi meshisa. In the case where already from before Shabbos, this talis, this cloak, was attached to the frame, and there's a string, a strap, attached to this cloak, and all you have to do is pull the strap and unwind the cloak in order to cover over the whole frame. That's mutal in toisa lekatchila. You're allowed to even initially do that on Shabbos. And we've learned previously that, and we mentioned it earlier on, that an oihel is only considered a moisif al oil aray, an extension to an existing oil, which is mutar on Shabbos, only if the oil, if the covering that was there from before Shabbos, was already a tefach wide. Over here, the Gemara doesn't say that there was already a roofing of a tefach wide, and that's why you're allowed to pull the straps over and extend that. So Tosfos comes to town with that, and Tosfos says, Kegoin sheshir bo tefach. Tosfos says it must be that there's already a tefach covered over from before Shabbos, and then you can just unstrap the rest of it and continue it. And then Tosfos has another explanation as well. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rav Kahana mirav. Kilo, a canopy. Mahu, is one allowed to set up, is one allowed to drape a piece of material over a canopy on Shabbos? And this canopy, typically the way it was made was that there was a pole, a horizontal pole that was lying flat above the center of the bed. They would drape over the center, over that pole, they would drape some rag or some cloth, and then it would slope down onto the right and onto the left, covering the sides of the bed. The question is one allowed to put on such a covering on Shabbos? And it's interesting, we're going to have three different answers, and they're going to contradict each other. And the Gemara is going to explain. Omale, Rav said to Rav Kahana, af mito asura. Not only in the case of the canopy is it asa, it's also asa to do this in the case of a bed. Not only is one not allowed to set up a canopy on Shabbos, one's also not allowed to set up a bed. We'll soon see why and what. Mito mahu, Rav Kahana asked Rav, is one allowed to set up a bed on Shabbos? Omar le af kilo muteres. He said, not only is one allowed to set up a bed on Shabbos, one's also allowed to set up a canopy on Shabbos. Kilo umito mahu. And then he asked, Rav Kahana asked Rav, is one allowed to set up a canopy and or a bed on Shabbos? Omar le, Rav answered back to Rav Kahana, kilo asura umito muteres. It's osa to set up a canopy, but it's mutter to set up a bed. And obviously, these halachas are all contradicting each other. But says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, it's not a question. I'll explain to you in each case what he was referring to. The case where he said that one's not allowed to spread out the canopy and he's not allowed to set up the bed. He's talking about the beds of a place of Karmanoi. And these beds were similar to the beds of Galilin. So if you remember, we had the Kisei Galin at the top of the Amud, which was a bed that was, they would take it down, they'll take it apart, they'll disassemble it and then reassemble it. And we said there's an issue with that because you're making an oihel, it's an oihel arai, but you're making an oihel and you're fixing things together, you're not allowed to tightly fix parts of an object together. So he says in that case, the reason you're not allowed to make a canopy, we understand, you're making an oihel. But even the bed, you're not allowed to make because it's a type of bed that has been disassembled and you're reassembling it, you should not do that on Shabbos. Haduk omar le af kilo muteres. In the case that it says that one's allowed to also make the bed and also make the kilo, is talking about kederomi bar yecheskel. We just mentioned a moment ago that if there's already a tefach there, or if it's already been prepared from before Shabbos, and all you need is to pull the strap and to uncover the canopy and to let the cloak down, over there we said Rami Bar Yecheskel said it was mutter. So in that case, it's mutter to do it. That's the kilo that's mutter to do lekatchila. And the bed that he said it was mutter to do is obviously talking about the bed that we mentioned at the beginning of the Amud, mito v'kisei traskel v'asla mutter lintoison lekatchila. If the bed has already been fully assembled before Shabbos and you just want to put it down onto its feet, it's mutter. Kilo asura. Umito muteres. This that Rav told Rav Kahana, that there's a case where one's not allowed to do the canopy, but one is allowed to set up the bed. Umito muteres is typically our beds that we mentioned before, is the bed that's already been assembled, not the beds of, not from Galin or from Kormanoi, where these piece of furniture were disassembled and reassembled. No, they were fully assembled before Shabbos. It's mutter. And a typical canopy, which is asa, is talking about a canopy that's not been prepared before Shabbos, and you're not allowed to make an oihel on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, another halacha, Omer of Yosef, Chazino lohu lekilei debei Rav Huna. In the home of Rav Huna, we saw that the canopies, demi'urta nagidu, in the Friday night on Shabbos, the canopies, they were spread out. They were in place. Umitzafra, and in the morning, chavito ramya, they had been thrown down, which means that the canopies had been taken off. The spreads had been taken off the frame. And we know there's a rule. Anything you're allowed to put up, you're allowed to take down. Anything you're not allowed to take down, you're not allowed to put up, and vice versa. So you see here clearly from the case of Rav Huna that there is a case of a canopy which one is allowed to put up on Shabbos, and one's allowed to take it down on Shabbos. And the Mefarshim discuss what was unique about the canopies in the home of Rav Huna that allowed them to dismantle them on Shabbos, to take off the coverings on Shabbos, and then that implies that one's also would have been allowed to spread them out on Shabbos. The Mefarshim discuss what case we're talking about here. Continues the Gemara, another halacha, Omar Rav, Mishum Rav Chia, Viloin, a curtain. You want to cover over an entranceway, you want to spread out a curtain over a doorway, mutal in toisoy or mutal aferkoy, one is allowed to put it into position and take it away, because an oihel is only when you make a covering, a roofing. But here, where it's totally vertical, and you're just putting a piece of material or you're putting something into a doorway to act as a curtain, that is not considered an oihel, and therefore it's mutter on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Shmuel Mishum Reb Chia, Kilas Chasanim, a typical canopy that was used, that was spread over a bridal bed. Mutter Lintoisa, one's allowed to hang over this canopy on Shabbos. Mutter Lefayruka, one's also allowed to take it down on Shabbos. And obviously the Kilas Chasanim is different to a regular canopy. As we mentioned at the top of Amud Aleph, that the Kilo, which is also to do on Shabbos, is talking about where there is a width of a tefach at the top, making a type of roofing of a tefach, and then the canopy would slope down onto the sides. However, over here, the kilas chasanim, it would come to a sharp point, And therefore, if there's no roofing, it's not, that's going to be the discussion, but it may not be considered an oihel. So it says, mutal in toison or mutal ofoiriko. You're allowed to set them up, you're allowed to hang this canopy, and you're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. Omer of Sheshes Breder of Idi, loy omron elosh ein begago tefach. Obviously, we're only talking about a case where the top, where the roofing is of this bed, there's no width of a tefach. If there's a width of a tefach, then covering it over will be considered creating an oihel, and that's asa. Aval yesh begago tefach, if there is a tefach, asura, it's asa to spread out this canopy onto the bridal bed. And another halacha, v'chi ein begago tefach, nami loy omron, even if there isn't, if the bed does not come, if the top of the bed, if this pole on top of the canopy comes to a point, and there's no tefach at the top, nami loy omron, it's only muta, elo she'ein bepochois mishloisha somuch legago tefach. Not only is there no tefach on the top of the bed, on top of this canopy, where the top part of this, of the frame, but even if when the canopy is spread out and sloping down, you've got to make sure that within the first three tefachim from the top of the canopy, it's not the width of a tefach. That means the angle has to be no larger than 18 degrees. If it's 18 degrees, then by the time you get to three tefachim from the top, it's not yet a tefach wide. If the angle is wider than 18 degrees, then within the space, the height of three tefachim from the top, it will be a tefach apart, and then it's considered as if there's a roof and it's asa. If within three tefachim from the top of the canopy, the top three tefachim, tefach, if the width between the drape, the material on the right and the material on the left is a tefach, also then it's considered that you made a oihel, a roofing, and it's also to do it on Shabbos. V'loy omron elo she'ein b'shipua tefach. And this is a halacha that is very questionable if we rule like this detail, but it says even more than that. If the amount that the slope from the top of the canopy all the way down to the side of the bed, if that's one tefach wide, then the whole slope is considered as being a roofing, and that's also asa. In the whole slant, it's not covering the width of a tefach. If in the slant, from the center, from the pole that's holding up the canopy until the edge of the bed is a tefach, then it's asa. Because shipu'e oiholim ka'holim domi, because a slanty roofing is also considered a roofing. And so for all intents and purposes, if this bed is two tefachim wide, then the canopy is going to slant on each side a tefach, and then you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So when it says that kilas chasanim mutal in toiso, mutal afirka, we're obviously talking about a bed that is less than two tefachim wide. And the reason is, shipuye oholim ke oholim domi, the slant of an oihel, of a roofing, is also considered a covering. And obviously all the mefarshim ask, what use is there to have a bed, a bridal bed that's two tefachim wide? You can't sleep on there, you can just about sit on it. And Rashi already says that it was not made to sleep on, eino asuya lishon tachto, it wasn't made to sit under, to sleep underneath it. It was obviously a bed that was not very wide. And even when it is mutter, when all these conditions are met, it's only on condition that when the covering, the drapes or whatever, the sheets that you're using as this canopy, if they don't go beyond the bed, under, if the level of the bed or the chair, whatever this bridal, this kilas chasanim, this bridal bed, if the sheet carries on beyond the layer where a person sits on and goes down another tefach, then it's asa. The loynochis mipuria, it doesn't continue beyond the bed a tefach. Avol nochis mipuria tefach, if it goes beyond the bed a tefach, then also this is also considered, you're making a wall, that means the bed itself is going to be a type of a roofing, and you've made walls around it, this draping, this material that's now covering the sides of the bed under where the person would be sitting, is like considered the walls of this tent, so to speak, and the bed itself becomes the roof, and that's going to be asur on Shabbos. Aval noches mepura tefach osur. Continues the Gemara. Va'omer of sheishes breder of idi. Hai siono. A siono was a type of a hat with a very wide rim, a felt hat, that the rim was very wide. Shari, one's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, va'itmer siono osur. We learnt in another brisa that, or there was a quote from one of the Chachomim that one's not allowed to wear this hat, this very wide-rimmed hat, on Shabbos. Loi kashya, it's not a contradiction. Hodi islei tefach. If it's a tefach wide, then it's considered an oihel. Putting it on your head is considered that you're making a roofing of a tefach. It's asa. Hodi lesbei tefach. And if there's no tefach, then it's not considered a covering and you're allowed to wear it. Ask the Gemara el me'ato, if you're right that wearing a hat with a wide brim is considered making an oihel, making a roofing, then sharviv beglimo tefach hochanami de mechayev. Are you suggesting that if somebody wears a cloak, and a person will typically take a talis or a cloak and put it over his head, so if he's going to take this cloak and just hold it a tefach beyond his head, above his head, you've made a tefach. Are you suggesting that that's called making a roof and will be chayev on Shabbos, will be osur on Shabbos? Elo loikasha, there's nothing to do with oihel. Wearing a hat is not similar to making a roof, and it's muta. So what's the discussion here? In one place it says that wearing such a hat is muta, one place it says it's osur. What's going on? Elo loikasha, hoda mihadik, hoda loi mihadik. Such a type of hat that fits well, is tightly fastened on the person's head, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. There's no risk it's going to fall off, and there's no risk you're going to end up carrying it on Shabbos. But if it's not tightly fitted, it might fall off. You may end up carrying it on Shabbos, which is osa, and therefore you're not allowed to wear such a hat on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Sholach lei Romi bar Yecheskel Rav Huna. Romi bar Yecheskel sent to Rav Huna, Eimelon Izi. Tell me, my friend, Hanoch Mili Ma'alyasa, these excellent teachings, the Omraslon that you were accustomed to tell us, Meshmei de Rav, in the name of Rav. Tarti b'Shabbos, two of them were regarding the halachas of Shabbos, v'chodah b'Torah, and one of them was discussing Torah. Sholach le, Rav Huna sent back to Rami bar Yecheskel. Ho de Tanya, we learnt in a brisa, good, which is a leather bag, we mentioned it at the top of Amud Aleph, bekisno, that has straps and strings attached to it, muter lintoisa b'Shabbos, one is allowed to hang it out on Shabbos. Omar Rav loishonu, that's only true, elo bebeis pnei odom, only if two people together are hanging out, as we discussed in Amud Aleph, they will typically spread out this bag by pulling the straps apart and tying the straps to some pegs, to some poles, and then doing that will form a type of an oihel, a type of a covering, a roofing. You're only allowed to do it if there's two people. If two people together are spreading it out, then they will not be pulling it too tight, and therefore it will not be considered a covering, an oihel. Aval ba'odom echad, if a single person is doing it, and he'll tie it on one, and then he'll go to the next peg, to the next hook, and he'll tie it very tight, he'll end up really tying this bag open, stretching it open very tightly, and that will be considered an oihel and is osur. Osur. Omar Abaya, v'kilo, in the case of a canopy, afilu beyud b'nei odom, even if 10 people are covering a canopy, osur, it's osur. Why? Yefshe de leimimtecha purta, it's inevitable that it's going to be stretched a little bit, and once it's stretched a little bit, it will have the status of an oihel, and it will be osur on Shabbos. Idoch mai, that was the first halacha. What's the second halacha in Hilchas Shabbos? Maihi. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa. Kiron oven, shenishmeto achas miyarchiseo, if one of its legs got broken away. Mutter letaltelo, even though an oven is mukta on Shabbos, it's because it's only ever used for baking or cooking in, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But as we've already learnt, one is allowed to move a mukta machmas, Isser, klisha, melachtil isser, one's allowed to move it if you either need it for something which is mutter or if you need its place. And therefore you can move it. Shtaim, however, if two legs got broken off and then even during the week, it cannot be used anymore as an oven. It loses its status of a utensil. So it's now not a kli shemelachto le'issa. It's not considered a kli. It's a muktzemach mas gufoy. And also, you're not allowed to move it at all on Shabbos. Rav Omar, afilu chad nami osur, even if just 1 foot came away, you're not allowed to move it, not because it's lost its status of utensil. Rather, gzeira shemo yitoka, we're afraid that he's going to firmly fix the leg back into this oven on Shabbos, and doing tkio, firmly fixing and attaching 2 parts of a kli together, is osur. It seems from Rashi on Daf Mem Zayin that it's also because of Makeh Bepatish. It's as if you're giving a final blow, creating a utensil. Okay, that's what those were the two halachas in Hilchos Shabbos. Torah. What's the halacha of Torah? Or the halacha, or the statement, that this teaching about Torah, what was that? Da Omer Rav Asida Torah she'tishtakach miYisrael. Eventually, Torah is going to get forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'hafle Hashem es makoyischo, Hashem is going to give extraordinary blows chas v'shalom to Klal Yisrael. Hafla zu ein yodea mau. What's so extraordinary about those blows? We don't know. Kashu Omer, when it says in the pasuk, lochein hineni Yosef, I'm going to add lehafli es omaze hafle v'ofele. I'm going to do exceedingly extraordinary things to this nation. Va'avda chokhmas chachoma v'binas nevoinov testator. Havaimah, from there we see that it's the chokhmah and the bina, it's the wisdom and the intelligence that's going to get lost. So hafla zutayra, we see that when it says v'hafle Hashem es makoscha, Hashem is going to give extraordinary blows, it's referring to the blow of Klal Yisrael forgetting Torah. Tonu Rabbonon, the literal translation is that when the Chachomim went into the vineyard in Yavne, but we've already seen Rashi brings on Daf Lamed Gimel that this was actually a Beis HaMedrash that looked like a vineyard. The benches were in semicircles, were going round the edges of the Beis HaMedrash. The Chachomim went into this Beis HaMedrash. Omru, they said, Asida Torah she'tishtakach miYisrael. Eventually, Torah will get forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shneimer, as it says in the pasuk, Hine yomim boim, days are coming, Nu'um Hashem Elikim, says Hashem, v'hishlachti ro'ov ba'oretz, and I will send a hunger to the land, loy ro'ov la'lechem, not hunger for bread, v'loy tzomo la'mayim, and not thirst for water. Kim l'shmoyez dvar Hashem, people will be thirsty to hear the words of Hashem, and they won't find it, and there's going to be a tremendous hunger for the words of Hashem. Siven, it says in another pasuk, v'no'u, and they journeyed miyom el yom, from one sea to the next, mitzofin v'ad mizrach, from the north to the east, yeshoytetu, they will wander, levakesh es dvar Hashem, to seek the words of Hashem, v'lo yimtzou, and they will not find the words of Hashem. This Dvar Hashem, these words of Hashem that they will wander to seek and will not find, what are they? Zu halacha, this is talking about halachic rulings, a deep understanding into the reasoning behind all the halachas. Dvar Hashem, zeaket, another thing that we will not find, even though we will be searching for it, is knowledge about the end of time. Dvar Hashem, zu nevua, another Dvar Hashem is prophecy. Prophecy is the words of Hashem. What does it mean that they will wander, they'll be wandering around seeking for the words of Hashem? What does that mean? Who's wandering where, and where are they seeking? Omru, they said, Asida Isha, eventually there's going to be a case where even a woman, Shetitoil Kikor Shel Truma, she's going to take a loaf of bread that was Truma, and it was baked or was put into an earthenware oven. And this earthenware oven was tomei because a sheretz, or a tomei animal, was put into its airspace. And the halacha is that if a sheretz is put into the airspace of an earthenware kli or an oven, then the whole oven becomes tomei. And this loaf of truma, which was supposed to be tahir, she's going to want to know, is it tahir? Is this loaf of bread tahir? Is it tomei? What's its status? This woman is going to go from one Beis HaMedrash to the next, from one Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash. Leidaim tamei ahivim tahira, to know, is this loaf of truma, truma tahira, and it's allowed to be eaten, or is it truma tamei, which is not allowed to be eaten? Ve'ein mevin im tahira hi, ve'im tamei ahi, and there'll be nobody that will understand enough to tell her whether it's tahir or tamei. Says the Gemara, behed yuksiv be. It cannot be that something that's an explicit posuk is going to get forgotten. It's a posuk that says, mikol ha'oichel asher yeochel, that any food items in this oven that's become tamei is tamei. So, of course they're going to know it's tamei. What's the question? It cannot be that they're going to forget Torah to that extent. Elo leida, what they're not going to know is im rishonohi, im shniohi. They're not going to know, is the status of this truma, is it a rishon letuma, or is it a sheni letuma? A sheretz, this insect which is tamei, or whatever the shiratzim are, it's an av hatuma. If it touches the inside of the oven, then the oven becomes a rishon. Now, a rishon that touches food is a sheni. So the question is, do we say that this sheretz that's hanging in the airspace of the tanur, of this oven, it's as if it's touching the oven, and it's as if it's touching the food items in the oven? And since the sheretz is an av, the oven and the food items will be a rishon letuma. Or do we say no? The sheretz makes the airspace, which in turn makes the oven tomei a rishon. The oven is touching the loaf of truma, and therefore the loaf is going to be a sheni. That's going to be the question. Ve'ein mevin. No one is going to be able to clarify that. Asks the Gemara, Honami masnisin hi. It's very explicit, this halacha. It's not something which is probable is going to get forgotten. Could it none? We learnt in a Mishnah, Hasheretz shenimtza betanur, if a sheretz is in the airspace of an oven, an earthenware oven, hapascha betoichoi shnia, then the bread inside it is a sheni letuma. Shehatanur tchilo, because the oven is a rishon, the sheretz is going to make the sheretz, which is an av, is going to make the oven into a rishon. The oven is touching the bread, is going to make the bread into a sheni. So how can it be that they're not going to know if the bread is a rishon or a sheni? It's an explicit mishnah. It's a sheni. Says the Gemara, Mistapkeluhu hada omar le Rav Adar bar Ava l'Rova. They're going to have a different question, and that they're not going to be able to verify. Lichazia hai tanura, commander malya tuma, that Rabbi Adar bar Ava suggested to Rava that in the same way as the airspace is considered as full, even though this sheret is not touching the oven, but since it's in the airspace of the oven, we consider the oven as being blocked, and therefore it's as if the sheret is touching the oven. Why don't we also say that it's as if the bread is touching the same airspace and is going to become a rishon? V'tehevi pas rishona, and then the bread is going to be a rishon, not a sheni. Omale, so Rava is going to answer back to Rav Adar bar Ava, lo yomrinon lichazye hai tanura kamanda malya tuma. We do not view the whole oven as being full, as being blocked up, and therefore the sheretz is as if it's touched the food and it becomes a rishon. D'tanya, because in a braisa we explicitly learn that from a posuk. Yochel yehu kol hakelim mitamim ba'avir kli cheres. I may have thought that any regular utensils, metal ones, not earthenware ones, have their own set of halachas, because even if a sheretz would touch the outside of an earthenware kli, it would not become tomei. But a regular metal kli, that if a sheretz touches the outside of it, the outside walls, it would become tomei. So the Braisa says, I may have thought that if you have a sheretz hanging in the airspace of an oven, or of any kli cheres, and inside the same airspace you've got a metal utensil, I may have thought that the kli is going to become tomei, because there's a fundamental difference between food and kelim. Kelim, utensils, can only ever become rishon. Food can become sheni, and shlishi and revi, based on what we've seen previously in the Masechta. So over here, if you have a sheretz in the airspace of this oven, if you perceive and you view everything in the airspace as touching the sheretz, then even a utensil, a metal utensil hanging in the same airspace, it's as if the sheretz touched the utensil will become a rishon. But if you say that it's the oven, is that becomes a rishon, and then the oven is the one that makes everything else tomei. If it touches the oven, and the food will become a sheni, kelim cannot become a sheni. So one of the halachic ramifications of perceiving the entire oven as being full is whether, not only whether the food items in it will be a rishon, but whether utensils in it can become tomei. So the Braisa says, I may have thought that the kelim will become tomei based on Rav Ada Bar Arva's logic, that we view the whole oven as being full and the sheretz as touching everything in the oven. Talmud Loimat says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol asher b'toichoy yitmo. Everything that's inside this oven will become tomei. And then there's another Pasuk that says, the Pasuk after that says, Mikol ha'oichil asher ye'ochil, that it's only food items that are in this earthenware kli that become tomei. Oichlin metamin ba'avir kleicher. It's only food in the airspace of an earthenware kli, which in the airspace is also a sheretz. The food becomes tomei. Ve'in kelim metamin ba'avir kleicher. But these metal kelim will not become tomei. So you see clearly in the Braisa that we do not perceive the whole oven as being full, and therefore the food items will be sheni, and kelim will not be tomei. And that's the end of the Gemara. And what's going to be forgotten? What's going to be forgotten is this Braisa that is refuting Rabbi Ada Bar Ava's question. Rabbi Ada Bar Ava asked a good question. In the same way as the sheretz in the airspace of the tanur makes the tanur tomei, it should make everything else a rishon. And so we found a Braisa that says not that way. The Braisa is going to get forgotten, and people will have this question, and they won't know the answer. And all the Mefarshim here, or many Mefarshim here, ask, I don't understand. You had an explicit Mishnah before that says that the food is a sheni, not a rishon. So we already know that we don't perceive the whole oven as being full. So what's going on? And we said before that at the end of time, the Mishnayos are not going to be forgotten. And there's a lot of different Achronim who discuss this, how exactly, what's going to be forgotten, what's not going to be forgotten, but that's the basic sugya. Continues the Gemara. Continuing on the theme of the forgetting of Torah towards the end of time, Tanya Reb Shimon ben Yochai Oimer, Chas v'sholim shetishtakach Torah miyishol. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, Chas v'sholim, it cannot be that Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Kiloi sishochach mipizaroi, Torah will never be forgotten from the descendants of Klal Yisrael. Elo, ma'ani mekayim ishoitetu levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo imotzu. How would Reb Shimon ben Yochai, understanding the Pasuk that says that people are going to wander around searching for the word of Hashem and they will not find it? Of course, people are going to know Torah, but shelo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishnah brura b'mokim echad. There will be some people who will have halacha brura, who will have clarity in all the reasonings behind all the halacha. There might be other people that have a very clear tradition as to the sources on which the halachas are based, but we won't find in one place that also the reasoning behind the halachas and the exact text of the sources of the halachas in one place, they will not be together, and therefore there will always be room for arguments between the chachomim. One will have halacha brua but will not have the mishnah brua. If they don't know the sources, there'll be other cases they won't know the halachas to. There'll be people who will have the mishnah brua but not the halacha brua. They will not know how to rule the halachas. Either way, the lack of clarity of having also halacha brura, the clarity of halacha and the mishnah brura, the teachings being clear, they're not going to be in one place. That's what's going to happen when chas v'shalom Torah is going to get forgotten. In Mirat Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.